I'm telling you, I love starting service off with baptism. It's just a little work there because I'm sweating, you know. but yeah, it's such a great thing. And like I said before, you know, we all remember when we were baptized. Those of you that have been baptized before, and I have memories of when we go and baptize. Like I'll tell you right now, when Tori come up out of that water, man, I love that look. I think it's because I was trying to get her down in all the way in the water, and then she comes and she's like, "Woo!" That's great. So that's a good memory. So this morning we're going to be in John chapter 10, and we're going to be still looking at continuing our study into John, and we're looking at the I am sayings of Jesus Christ. And last week we read in John 8, as Jesus said that He is the light of the world, and we talked about how physical light reveals things. Remember, I had my flashlight, and we talked about how there's a source of light, and how that light reveals things, and that's what makes us able to see. Right, we're able to see because of light, because we just can't do that because the light interacts with other things, so we can actually see them. And we talked about the spiritual light that Jesus gives. He reveals His holiness. He reveals His purity by the light that Jesus is, when He says that He is the light. So we've got to understand that means that God is the true light. And when we're in darkness, which is the absence of God, then we're walking in sin. That's what we're doing. We're walking in sin, and it means that when Jesus said in John 8:12 that I am the light of the world, he who follows me shall not walk in darkness but have the light of life, that means that the light revealed him as Son. That the light revealed the Father as God. And the light, and between the two of them, Jesus reveals God. God reveals Jesus, and the two reveal the cross, which is the reason we have salvation, because of Jesus' work on the cross. And because when he was lifted up, that's when he died for our sin. That's when his true light was carried throughout the world for all of us. And that's what we mean, that's what he means when he says that he is the light. And today we're going to talk about the third I am of Jesus, and it's in John 10. And he declares that I am the door to the sheep. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. So we're going to read out of John chapter 10, verses 1 through 10. So I want to ask everybody to stand for the reading of God's Word. And we're going to start with verse 1 of chapter 10, and we're going to read all the way to verse 10. And it says this in chapter 10, verse 1. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Verse 7. Then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All whoever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. Verse 9. I am the door, and if anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. This is God's word. Let's pray. Holy God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is life. And we thank you, Father, that you speak to us through it. And we ask you, Father, as we read from your word today, that you would open our hearts to the message that you have to teach us this morning. I pray, Lord, that you speak you speak to us this morning, that it's not me. And I pray, Lord, that you speak and you teach us what you would have us know today. Thank you, God, for loving us. Thank you for saving us. And it's all these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So we're looking at this, and our focal verse this morning, you've got it on the back of your bulletins at the top. It says in John 10:9, it says, "I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture." So in this verse, I think that we see Jesus Christ as he represents himself as the door, that as he and he's represent he's what he's doing is he's representing himself as the door to salvation. And I believe that as we break down this verse with the rest of this passage that we're reading this morning in today's study, that we can see how Jesus is the door to our salvation in him. You see, so Jesus wants to offer us his grace. He wants to offer us his love, and he wants to work in us to do great and mighty things. He wants to work through us, but we've got to walk through the door first. That's what we've got to do, and we've got to open the door, and we've got to come to him in full surrender. You know, we just had three young people up here in the water this morning announcing to the world that they're giving their lives in full surrender to Jesus Christ. And what we need to do now is we need to pray for these young people, and we need to work with them, and we need to lead them so that they don't stray, because this is a tough time right at the beginning of this new life in Jesus. And they're announcing to the world that they have walked through the door, but now we've got to help them as they go through this life. But first we've just got to surrender to him, and we've got to walk into him and ask him to come into our lives. And I hope if you haven't done that this morning, that by the end of this you'll see that that's what you need to do. That we need to do that we can announce to the world that we are surrendered to Jesus Christ. So the first thing I think we see in this scripture in verses 1 and 2, I think we see where Jesus portrays the door. And he says in verse 1, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber." So Jesus portrays the door. The first thing we see here is Jesus portrays himself as the door. And we read that through verse 1 where he says he does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up another way. He's saying that if you're trying to come to him by some other way, if you're trying to get to God by some other way than the door, then you got a problem. Because lots of times we think that, well, you know, I live a good life. I'm a good person. God's going to bring me to heaven. Let me tell you something. If you don't know Jesus Christ, it don't matter how good you are. You know, I mean, you've got to surrender your life to Jesus. You've got to follow him. You've got to seek him out. You've got to pursue Christ passionately. And the first step is to go through the door, which is Jesus Christ. And we've got to do that, and he portrays himself as that. He's saying that if you're trying to come another way than the door, then there's a problem. Now, you may ask yourself, what's the problem? Well, the problem is that sin separates us from God. Jesus says, "I am the door." Not a door. He says, "I'm the door." So there's not another direction. You know, he talks about in our scripture this morning that these who try to enter a different way, that they're thieves and robbers. The only way you can come to God is through the door, which is Jesus Christ. Acts 4:11-12 says this. It says, "This Jesus, the stone rejected by you builders, which has become the cornerstone, there is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given to people by which we must be saved." So the only way that you can be saved, the only way that you can come to know God is through Jesus Christ. The only way you can receive eternal life, the only way you can go to heaven is through Jesus Christ. 1 Timothy 2:5-6 says this. It says, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself a ransom for all. He's the only way, y'all. He's the only way. He is the door. He's the only door. And also, too, He is the open door. In our focal passage, we read there in verse 9, it says, if anyone enters, because of God's grace, we still have an open door to salvation, because He loves us, because He wants to give us His grace. But we've got to have faith in Him to receive that grace. And we've got to walk through the door. In Isaiah 55:6, it says, seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Look, folks, let me tell you, we're not promised tomorrow. We're not promised tomorrow. You may leave here today, and heaven forbid, have something happen out here on 411. You may walk out this door, trip on the steps on the way out. There's no promise for tomorrow. So if you haven't given your life to Him, you need to receive Him today. You need to seek Him out. The door is open. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 6:2, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Look, folks, today is the day of salvation. If you have not surrendered it all to Jesus, today is the day of salvation. If you have not surrendered your life to Him, today is the day of salvation. If you have not decided to live your life for Him, today is the day of salvation. You need to get it right today. Don't wait, because He is the open door. In John 3:16, it says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. Look, Jesus says, I am the door, and He is the only door, and the door stands wide open for you today. The next thing we read how Jesus portrays the door, and we read how Jesus protects. So let me ask you this. Why do we have doors? Shout it out. Anybody know why we have doors? Keep what? To keep thieves out. What'd you say down here? To go through. We have doors for protection. We have doors so that we can get in and out. Like here, we got all these doors around here. So they asked me how many rooms. I'm sorry, one of the kids. I was going to say one of the kids asked me how many rooms. I thought they asked me how many doors, but it wasn't that. But we've got doors to go in and out of this building, you know. And the reason we have the doors is for protection, not just against thieves, but also against the elements, right? I'm reminded when I was a boy, my granddaddy, I worked for my granddaddy every summer on the farm, so I'd stay at his house. And when I'd come in, I'd leave the door open. He'd yell at me, boy, go shut that door. We're not trying to cool off the world. You know, so I'd have to go close the door, you know, so the air conditioning didn't get out. But we have doors to protect us. I'm reminded of when I was getting ready for this, I was reminded of Nehemiah. If any of y'all have ever read the story of Nehemiah, remember Nehemiah was called of God to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. And in Nehemiah chapter 7, he talks about that when the wall was built, I had hung the doors. So he built all the walls, and then the last thing he had to do was to hang the doors. Why? Because the wall was for protection. And without any doors, they just come in that way, can't they? So you got to have doors. So doors are for protection. We have doors for protection from those who might do us wrong, and also protection from the elements. So there's an obligation of protection. But the obligation is not of the Lord. The obligation comes from us, because it says in our focal verse, if anyone enters by me. So the protection is for His sheep. And He offers the protection for His sheep. But you know what? You got to walk through the door, which is Jesus Christ, before you can receive that protection. Because this protection isn't for everyone. It's for those who come to know Christ for salvation. You must come to Christ, if you want His protection, that's the obligation of protection, is for us to come to Him. He waits for us. He wants us to come to Him so He can care for us. Revelation 3:20 says this, very familiar verse for a lot of you is, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me." You know, I'm also reminded of the centurion's faith here, because we have to have faith in Jesus. Remember a couple weeks ago we were reading about the centurion's faith? He sent some people to go to Jesus because one of his servants was dying and he cared for him so much. Well, in Luke, the centurion says this. He says, "I did not even think myself worthy to come to you, but say the word and my servant will be healed." And you know, that's what Jesus did. He said, "Never have I seen this much faith." That's what he said. And with the word, Jesus healed the servant. And they all went back and the centurion didn't even... But see, here's the thing. The centurion didn't even believe himself worthy of this. You know, maybe that's what's hindering some of you by accepting this obligation of protection. Maybe you think you're not worthy. Maybe you're putting it off and you're saying, "Well, you know, Jay, I got to get a few things right first before I come to know Jesus." Look, you know, it's not going to happen. Okay? You can't clean yourself enough to come before Christ. You've got to come before Him and allow Him to take care of that. You've got to walk through the door and allow Him to clean you. Maybe that's what's keeping you from doing that. Maybe you're thinking, maybe throughout your life you've had problems with, I don't know, drugs. Maybe you've had problems with crime and you've been in and out of jail. You know what? It don't matter. It don't matter. You just got to come to Jesus and you got to give everything up to Him. And you got to let Him clean you with His blood that cleanses us from all unrighteousness. You got to allow Him to clean you. So you got to come before Him. But the first step is to walk through the door. So our obligation to be saved by Jesus, to be protected by Him, is that we must have faith. And like I said, you may believe you're not worthy of this. You are. You just got to have faith in Him. This centurion said it. I just didn't feel myself worthy to come to you. You need to come to the cross. You need to walk through the door. And you need to come to the cross. The outcome of the protection that we receive is that it says there in verse 9, it says that He will be saved. Those who come to Him will be protected from eternal condemnation. You'll be saved. And when it says this in John 10:4, it says, "And when He brings out His own sheep, He goes before them, and the sheep follow Him, and they know His voice." This is verse 4 of our text this morning. That's the outcome of this protection, that we get to follow Jesus, and He takes the lead. And we get to follow Him, and He takes care of us, and He protects us. Now look, I'm not going to sit here and tell you, it's going to be easy. Because it's a tough road to follow Jesus Christ. He even says that they will hate you as they hate me. But you know what? He's going to take care of you. Your soul is bound for heaven. But let me tell you something. If you're not accepting Him, if you're not walking through the door, you know where your soul is bound for? Hell. You're bound for eternal condemnation unless you surrender everything to Him. Unless you surrender to Him. And receive his eternal life that can only be offered through Him. It can only be offered by walking through the door. You know, Ephesians 2:8 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God." It's a gift. Look, that's why I said you can't clean yourself up. You can't do any work to get to it. It's a free gift. You just got to accept it. I've told you all before, what's the difference between a gift and anything else? A gift does not become a gift till you accept it. I can hold out something and try to give it to you until you take it it's not a gift. If you say, no, 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 I don't want that, well, then it's not a gift anymore. It's just a whatever. For a gift to become a gift, it's got to be accepted. Would you accept that today? Would you accept that free gift of Jesus today? Will you walk through the door and come into Him and allow Him to come into you and take over your life? We enter through the door that is Jesus Christ, and He saves us and protects us from the fires of hell. And then, the last thing is He provides. There's two wonderful things that God provides when we have faith to follow Him and enter through the door and receive His salvation. One is freedom, and one is food. And some of y'all are saying, oh, I like food. That's not the type of food I'm talking about. He's going to feed you with His Spirit. He's going to feed you and encourage you. And let me get to that. Let's talk about freedom first. I got out of order there. So, but it says in our key verse here in verse 9, it says, talking about freedom, it says, we'll go in and out. True freedom comes in Christ, not corruption. You know, a lot of people say that they don't want to... Sorry, I'm sweating so much, y'all. A lot of people say that they don't want to follow Christ because they're like, well, that means I got all these rules that I got to follow. You know what? True freedom does not come in living a sinful life. True freedom comes by being freed up from your sin by the sacrifice of Jesus, by the gift He offers, by what He does. True freedom comes in Christ, not in corruption. The devil just try that, doesn't he? He tries to make following Jesus sound limiting. But it's not. You know, we read in verse 10, it says, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. He wants you to live an abundant life with freedom that comes through forgiveness, that comes through Him. And that's what He wants you to do. The true obstruction to freedom is sin. Because sin enslaves. How does it enslave? Through addiction. It enslaves because it can allow us to damage ourselves, to hurt others. That's how sin enslaves. And that's the true corruption. Sin enslaves. It corrupts. And it is Jesus that gives us freedom from sin through His sacrifice, through His forgiveness, through His love. That's how we receive true freedom. You know, John 8:36 says, therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. You want freedom? You got to walk through the door. You want true freedom? You got to walk through the door. And then it says, in our key verse, it says, and find pasture. That's the food. So Christ provides for His sheep. He provides for our needs. Now sure, He may not give you a big old Ford F-250 four-wheel drive, but He gives you two good feet where you can get where you need to go. You know, sometimes I drive around the Walmart parking lot. I'm like, man, why can't I find a close spot? And I have to remember, God gave me two good legs. I could park all the way in and walk all the way in. You know? Y'all are all thinking, he talks a lot about Walmart. Walmart's a big part of our life. Seems like every time I get up here, I'm saying something about Walmart, right? So, but Christ provides for our need. He, you know, I remember in Numbers chapter 11, I think it is, you can read about the children of Israel. And they were complaining about not having any meat. All we have is this manna. That's all we've got. And they had water and they had manna. And I could just hear them. The Bible says that they were standing in the tents crying, who will give us meat? And then Moses, they come to Moses and they start griping to him about it. And Moses goes to God, and he says, why are you putting me through all this? If I got to put up this, just kill me now. Is what he says. He's so wore out from them griping about not getting any meat. And then God goes and God tells Moses, he says, tell the people they'll receive meat. And then they get it. Because it says that they're going to receive quail, and he said that they'll eat it till it comes out of their nostrils. You read it. It's chapter 11, Numbers. He says that's what God tells them. They're going to eat meat till it comes out of their nose. But see, they were griping about not having what they needed, and they had what they needed. They were given sustenance, so their clothes, if you read further in it, their clothes never wore out. You know, they didn't want for anything. God gave them everything they needed. And you know, that's why I say, you may not get the stuff you want, but God's going to provide. God's going to provide. And we can depend on Him to do that. He provides for our needs. Philippians 4:19 says, and my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Jesus Christ. But Jesus provides. And He just wants you to, because He is the door. You just need to open up to Christ. You need to open up the door of salvation, because that's what He's saying here when he says this in verse 9. He says that I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. And we'll go in and out and find pasture. So what's it going to be? Are you just going to keep on doing your own thing and doing what you want to do? Or are you going to come to the door? He's knocking. He's asking you to come in. He wants you to come into Him. And that's what He wants you to do. He wants to protect you. He wants to provide for you. You know, we read last week that He's the light of the world. He wants to lead you out of darkness. He wants to lead you to Him, and He wants you to receive His eternal life. But to receive that eternal life, you've got to surrender. You know, we've talked about that before. That, you know, for years I've always heard preachers say, you've got to commit to Jesus, but I'm just not there anymore, because commitment usually comes with a time limit. I told y'all, I signed up for so many years in the Army. I signed up for that commitment. When it was over, I was out. Same thing with the troopers. Surrender is a lifetime thing. That means you give up. You give up, and you've got to walk through the door, and you've got to receive Him. And to receive eternal life, you've just got, it's about total surrender. So let me ask you this, are you totally surrendered? Are you giving everything to Jesus, or are you still keeping a lot of stuff? Because I think we do that, don't we? We do that. We don't walk all the way through the door. We get kind of halfway through it, don't we? I'm gonna stand right here because I want to keep this stuff, but I also want to be part of Jesus. But it don't work that way. It doesn't work that way. You've got to receive everything from Him. What aspects of your life are you not giving to Him? Are you still mad at somebody, and you're just perpetually going through that and going to stay mad at them and not going to go to them with whatever it is you're mad about? You know, hey, y'all, let me tell you this. Some of y'all that are in here mad at somebody right now, do you know somebody somewhere is mad at you too? And you just don't even know it. You just don't even know it. And some, maybe you know somebody's mad at you. You don't even know why. But that, we hold on to that kind of things too, don't we? We hold on to, well, I've got stuff I do on Sundays, so I don't want to go to church. I've got this going on. I can't do everything, and I just can't be there every time the door's open. Well, okay, we'll try a couple times. Some of us, we've got
We've got our addictions. Maybe you're addicted to some kind of substance. Maybe you're taking pills, or maybe you're doing other illicit drugs, and you just don't want to let that go. I'm good. I know what I'm doing. Maybe it's alcohol. Maybe it's alcohol. Maybe you got to have that fix every day. And you say, well, I'm just drinking in moderation. It's just to relax me. Jesus says, cast your cares on Him. So maybe that's something that's got control of your life. You don't even know it. You don't even realize it. A lot of these things that have control over our life, we don't even realize it. We need to pray to God every day that He would show us these sins in our life that we don't even realize we're doing. Because we've all got them. I've got them. You do. And we just need to pray that God would reveal that to us today. Maybe, though, you've never walked through the door, you've never received Jesus Christ. So, you know what? That's the first thing you're going to have to do. Is you're going to have to walk through the door, which is Jesus Christ, and receive Him. And then He'll reveal that to you. You need to receive that eternal life. You've got to surrender to Him. You've got to step out of the darkness and into the light, which is Jesus Christ. You've got to recognize God's plan in your life. And you got to, and that God, you know what God's plan is? It's peace and life through Him, through Jesus Christ. That's what it is. In John 3:16, we've already read it. It says, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever may believe in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. Do you believe in Jesus this morning? Are you ready to surrender everything to Him? You know, we've just got to recognize God's plan for our life. And you know what? It's a good plan. You know how often God's plan works? 100% of the time. And you know what? He's still working off the same plan. There ain't no plan B. But first, we've just got to realize our problem. We've got to realize our issues. And you know what our true problem is? It's separation from God. And we've got to surrender to Him. Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've just got to surrender everything to Him. Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Are we ready to do that? Are we ready to surrender those sins to Him? Quit holding on to these go-to sins. That's what I call them. When things get bad, we got to go do this and wallow around in that until we figure out where we're at and get back out of it. Let's just not get back into it again. How about we just keep following Jesus? How about we just keep chasing Him? We got to respond to God's remedy is what we've got to do. We've got to respond to God's remedy, and His remedy is the cross. His remedy is the cross, and Jesus did that work on the cross for you and for me to save us from our own iniquity, to save us from ourselves. He did that. God shows His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We've just got to respond to that remedy. And then we've got to receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior. John 1:12 says this, says, but to all who did receive Him, who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. That's what He wants us to become. He wants us to become children of God. But to do that, we got to walk through the door. And it starts with getting up from where you're at right now, today. It starts with that. And it starts with moving toward Him. It starts with pursuing Him passionately. It starts with giving up everything you've got and giving everything you've got to Him, so now that it's all that He's got. He wants everything. So let's just do that. Maybe you're a Christian in here and you've been walking around for years. You've been showing up at church. You're like, I don't even know what it's all for. Well, guess what? You can get that right today too. You can come to know Him. And you can seek Him out. And you can pray to Him. And you can read His Word. Well, I don't even understand His Word. Well, then read it. If you keep reading, read what you do understand.
And then he'll and then he'll shine his light on the rest of it. But it starts with coming to know Him. It starts with a step.
I just love this part. You know, I love all these I am sayings we've been reading. But I really like this, I am the door.
Because you know what it says? It says that, before we can do anything, before we can step into an eternal life, before we can really truly know Jesus Christ, we got to come to Him. We got to come to Him, and we got to... since He's the door, we got to walk into Him. And you know what? When we do that, when we step into Him, you know what that is? It's stepping out from what you've been doing. Because I don't think what we've been doing is doing that good unless we're doing it right.
So let's look at that. Let's look through that. Let's step through the door.
Go ahead. 3:20.